I had gotten to an altercation with that involved him, but it was actually saving his life, but I risked my life to do it. I actually had to shoot and kill somebody to protect him. And I went to jail for that. Okay. I went to jail when I was 13 years old and I didn't come home until I was almost 19. Really? Yeah, so I lost a lot of important years of me and then starting to come home. You know, like being in jail, regardless, adult, juvenile, it's pretty much all on up to you how things gonna turn out, like with education wise and stuff. It's all about how you push yourself, because they're not gonna do it. they're gonna bare minimum you. So it's about, it's basically, it's right, it's your will to learn and will to be successful.
Welcome to another episode of Love Everyone Equally with your hosts, Delta, Eugene, and Allie. Join us every week for new episodes. Please like, share, and support. And don't forget to spread a little love to someone today. Welcome, everyone, to another episode of Love Everyone Equally. I'm your host, Delta.
I'm your host, Eugene.
And today we are joined by our special guest, Deshaun. So you want to give us a little bit of background about yourself, Deshaun? Like, where you from?
I'm Deshaun. I'm 30 years old. I grew up on the south side of Chicago. From City Knife and Cottage Grove, so you can imagine all the stuff I done seen. The reason I decided to do the pod is because just this past recently, couple months, it's been kind of rough on my family. I lost my little brother. My mom had a tragic step back in her health. So, and it was like probably like 3 weeks, like two weeks after I buried my brother, my mom had popped a blood vessel in her head and had bleeding on her brain.
Oh, man.
Damn.
I'm really sorry to hear that. Yeah.
Put my big boy shoes on and really face life.
How old is your younger brother?
My younger brother is 8. And I'm taking care of him now, too, because my mom was basically like a single parent with him. So
is your mom going to recover or no?
It's all time consuming things. They don't know. It's pretty much all up to her. But she's slowly progressing. She's still not talking or anything like that, though. So she moves a little bit. She obviously looks at you. And right now she's like, she on full dialysis. So she's in basically her next step. The first step of rehab, she completed that. So now she's in her next phase of rehab, which is trying to get her strength back, trying to start talking. Right now she's on the feeding tube, trying to start back eating regularly and stuff like that.
Oh, okay.
So you got your hands full. Your plate is over full. I want to commend you for stepping up and, you know, trying to be there for your younger brother and your mother and yourself and your kids, you know.
A lot of black men don't get that recognition when it comes to when things are down, how we step it up. And you are an example for those who, you know, like when we went through the passing of Eli, it destroyed us. It really put a hole in my heart, my family's. It's a different situation for you. It's just like Isaiah, my youngest, you know, what you saying you went through is like, he lost his brother, then something happened to you. That's like a bam, bam. It's tough for him just off losing his brother. I'm glad to have this pod with you because you and my son can actually talk. And he can relate to you in so many ways because he lost his brother. I know a little bit more about Deshaun than my wife.
Because I'm a little lost over here.
Also, you had troubles when your younger years before this even happened. Can you give somebody a testimony of what happened to you when you was a young kid?
Speaking of, the reason I told you I named my son Mike Shine is because of my cousin Mike. And growing up, I had gotten to an altercation with that involved him, but it was actually saving his life, but I risked my life to do it. I actually had to shoot and kill somebody to protect him. And I went to jail for that. Okay. I went to jail when I was 13 years old and I didn't come home until I was almost 19. Really? Yeah. So I lost a lot of important years of me and then started coming home. You know, like being in jail, regardless, adult, juvenile, it's pretty much all on up to you how things going to turn out, like with education wise and stuff. It's all about how you push yourself, because they're not going to do it. they're going to bare minimum you. So it's about, it's basically, it's right. It's your will to learn and will to be successful and will to. So that's basically what I had to do. I feel like I had to grow up at a very young age. I had to become a man at 13 because that's the environment I was around.
So how long was you inside?
Illinois Youth Center St. Charles. That's what it was called. But when I first went down, that was called IDOC St. Charles. See, they didn't separate the kids from the adults at the time I went. We had the same staff that worked in the adult facility, worked in our facilities. Until somebody thought, like, these are kids. They got different needs and different stuff than adults need. And they decided to change the system around. But when I came down, it was a little hard.
Okay, because you was with the adults as well.
Yes, and it's down there. It's like once you turn a certain age, like the max age you can be down there is 21.
Mm. That's grown-ass man. If you 18, 19, and you come in at 13,
exactly,
you dealing with grown-ass men.
So you saw a lot of stuff.
Yeah, I saw a lot of stuff.
So, I want to get a little deep into your past, because if he's spilling the beans, you're going to spill the beans. You want to tell him about your altercation with...
But I was older.
It don't matter. See, you vulnerable too.
No, mine was more of me having anger issues that led to me stabbing my younger cousin. Well, what happened was two of my cousins, they got into an argument. I wasn't even in the argument until I tried to break it up. The youngest was very confrontational. And with me having my anger issues, with not having a good relationship with my mom, because I was sent to live with my grandmother's younger sister, and she was very abusive physically and mentally. And I felt like my mom didn't really want me. My mother has mental illness that she was dealing with. So she was never really an active parent in my life. My grandparents were. So getting back to the story. So my younger cousin was very defiant. You know, I told her, you know, just chill out. Like, just leave. You know, we in our grandparents' house, we're arguing. No adult really was there. So kids being kids led to one thing, hot heads and tempers. And I was just frustrated because they wasn't listening to me. And I lost my temper. And you know, in a black household, your grandparents had like this china cabinet that has glass, like an old, china cabinet. So I remember being in the kitchen and I was washing dishes, and they was in the living room and they was screaming, yelling and throwing stuff. And I went into the living room to break it up and tell them to calm down. But of course, my younger cousin, feeling herself.
It didn't turn out well.
From what I was told, because I blacked out, from what I was told, I pushed her into the china cabinet and the glass broke. And I picked up a piece of the glass and I just started stabbing her in her back and neck. And they separated us. And all I remember was going into the kitchen and sitting down, and I could hear my other cousins like screaming, like, she's bleeding. And she left the ambulance or something, and the police came. And next thing I knew, I was in jail, because I was 18 and she was probably 15. She survived, but I was told that if I had stabbed her a little bit closer inward to her spine, she would have been crippled. So for me in that ordeal, I was in jail, and I didn't understand exactly what was going on. I was just so angry that I got myself in trouble, and they was really looking to put me away, you know, and by the grace of God, you know, with my grandmother and some of my uncles and aunties, I was able to, I was on probation and everything, but I didn't have to do like major time. But, you know, I look back on it and just say, you know, everything happens for a reason. And sometimes we try to do the right thing and we end up in the wrong situation that has really nothing to do with us. We just trying to be a protector, and you kind of get thrown into something that you shouldn't be thrown into.
And it goes, you know, the reason why I even wanted her to tell the story is because we talked about your daughter.
Yes.
And what'd you tell me?
Yeah.
So.
She's quiet.
Yes. And would you think that story come from her? That's why I told you. I was like, she needs to get that therapy, and she needs to get that. You know what I'm saying?
Well, you asking her something, she'll just be quiet.
Yeah, that was me, pretty much. Yeah, that's something that you really need to seek help on. Just from my experience, I never was one to want to have confrontation. I was quiet. I kept to myself, but you know, if I let stuff build up inside to the point that something minute could happen and I would just explode.
Yeah, I just, you know, I was just talking to Deshaun about the difference of, you know, getting your kids out of that environment. Sometimes we so used to trying to keep it real in a sense. And, you know, we feel like we're running from us when we, you know, choose to live in a different area than us. You know, when I made that decision 20 some years ago to move out here, I did it for only my sons, because I knew when I was in the city, when I was going to Roseland, Curtis, then I moved to Riverdale, and I went to Washington and Roosevelt and Thornton, that they didn't give no additional attention to me. They didn't do anything for me. They just pretty much gave me my high school diploma and sent me along my way. Yeah. But when I moved out here, I didn't realize how much extra attention that they give to these kids out here. You know, like I was telling you, my son, one of them graduated with a trade for electrician. And then my other son, he got his associates, you know, to give them a jump on life. But just had that conversation, because some people's mindset is stuck and they want to keep it real and be within it. And you lose the people that are with you because you're trying to stay in it. Yeah, it's just about growth. What you're going through, though, now is my hat go out to you, because I was losing my shit off one loss. When you had to do the time, then you come out of that years later, your brother passed. And
even the guy I was protecting passed a couple years after I got out of jail. He got killed. So that's why I named my son Myshawn. So I was protecting my cousin. He ended up getting killed. It's crazy because I was with him when he got killed.
You say what?
I was with him when he got killed.
Really?
Yeah.
What was y'all doing?
Well, he was outside in the area, 79th in Maryland. And that day, I was crazy because that day I didn't want to go outside. But he was calling me like, come out, ooh, come out. Mm-hmm. And he actually got killed on his father's birthday. He wasn't even supposed to be out there. He's supposed to have been celebrating his father's birthday with him. They're supposed to be going out to eat. But he stopped out there because there was some stuff going on, and we were all going to sit down and talk about it. And in the midst of us, it's like 5 minutes after I pulled up, he was sitting, he was looking around for his cop or something. I'm like, what you looking for? He's like, he was looking for some blunts. And they were on the ground. Like they were on his lap when he jumped out the car or something. I'm like, there they go right there. He like, I'm tweaking. He picked them up. And as soon as we walked back over to the other guys who we were talking to, like as soon as we planted our feet, somebody started shooting.
So it was just, it wasn't directed towards him. It was just random.
Yeah, they were shooting at all of us. And he just so happened, he got hit like right here under his arm. And all I remember, I didn't run. I heard the shots. It sounded like firecrackers. They only shot like 2-3 times. And it sounded like firecrackers. And I had everybody else's reaction told me like something's going on. Like them weren't firecrackers. Mm-hmm. So I just kind of got low. And there was a tree right there. I spun around the tree and I stood there. And once I did that, I heard him say, I'm hit. And that was his last words. It's like he turned around. It happened because his back was turned where the shots were coming from. It's like he turned around to see where they were coming from. And then he got hit. And I basically just crawled over there to him, man. Mm. He wasn't talking. He was trying to gasp for air, trying to keep his air. And I looked and I lifted. I didn't know where he was hit at. He was kind of big, so it was kind of hard for me to move him, too. So I'm trying to move him, trying to see where he hit at, try to put pressure on it. And it wasn't really no blood, so that was a bad sign. He was bleeding internally. So, yeah. And I had to sit down and call his dad and him. You know,
I wanted to just ask you, how are you mentally? Because you seem like a very, just off the initial meeting, you seem like a very mellow person. And it's like, you've been through a lot of shit.
For the most part. But like you, I got a temper. When it gets there, it's hard to turn it down a little bit. And I've done stuff I ain't proud of behind my temper.
You're going to continue to do stuff you ain't proud of because of your trauma. Yeah. Your trauma is affecting you today.
Have you thought about getting counseling? I know in our community, it's kind of a taboo, it's frowned upon, but it helped me to unlock a lot of stuff that I had buried. And it just taught me how to look at things a little bit differently. Instead of looking at it always internal, it made me look at it internally, but also outward too, because of my perception was so warped because I thought everybody was out to get me. I couldn't trust this person. You can't trust nobody. And I always tried to stay guarded. I wouldn't let people in. And if someone crossed me, I had to make sure right then and there to check them instead of just being quiet and just keeping everything buried inside. And so, you know, doing a therapy, it taught me to journal and to have a voice in a sense. Doing this pod, you know, at first I really was a little hesitant because I didn't want to open up, you know, but I knew I needed to because losing my son really took me to a dark place and I'm still working. I'm still a work in progress and I feel like I have a voice more because I'm able to share my experience and people listen that can relate to it or for someone that thinks like, wow, it's different perspectives, it's different experience that maybe is totally different than theirs. So are you opposed to maybe doing counseling?
I've always said that I would do it, but I never really put the effort into doing it. But I feel like I need it. I feel like it'll help me a lot in a lot of different ways, too.
Yeah, because you've been through a lot at 13. I mean, I'm sure it's a lot to unwrap.
And the stuff that he ain't even saying. Yeah, I really want you to have a conversation with him. My son, because it's it's a lot of stuff that I don't think he even touch him. You know, I think he's at the point of burying everything and staying busy. He stayed busy. Yes. Yeah. And I don't think you get that. Even though you busy, you dealing with all your mama stuff. Like, you not getting busy and getting away from it. He getting busy and getting away from it. It's like, your business is probably going out in the car and smoking, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. This ride this morning.
Yeah, you still in that environment.
What you think about, like, moving?
I always thought about moving. That, to be honest, that was one of my goals before this happened to my mother, was to move away. Mm-hmm. But then it happened to my mother, and it kind of sad threw my thoughts away from it a little bit because I knew I had to be here to take care of her. But, yeah, it's always been something I wanted to do.
Do your mom own her place?
Nah.
What about moving her?
Yeah, that's another option.
Because even though we live out here, she goes to my doctor's in Illinois. Her doctor's in Illinois. Her eye doctor is in Hinsdale, all the way in Illinois. We still deal with Illinois. We still go in Chicago. We go out to eat out there. We still doing a lot of stuff out there.
To be honest, my mom not too far away from here. So she's in Glenwood. I just go up there and see. I still live in the city. Nah, she lived out there. I just chose to put her out there. Yeah. It's a rehab out there. Uh-huh. And my uncle and auntie live right around the corner from her, where she's at. So I feel like that'd be a good place for her, especially since I'd be so busy. Yeah. And they have somebody else to be able to have an extra eye on her.
And how many other brothers and sisters you got?
I got, it's four of us all together, plus the one that's deceased. So it's three of us.
And how old is the ones that's living?
I got a brother right under me. I'm 30, so he's about 28. That's and the 8-year-old.
And what's your brother mindset? Is it similar to yours or he opposite?
Totally different from me. He grew up different. He's totally different. He's a good kid though, so yeah. Yeah, but he wasn't like in the street part like I was. He chose his own path. Now, my youngest brother, the one that passed, he was kind of like me. But the other one, he always had his own thing going on. So that's one thing we never had to really worry about with him. Him being in the streets, he always kept a job, kept himself busy, he hung around a different type of crowd.
So does he live with you?
Nah. he actually lives with my mom. Because I felt like he lived there, but he's hardly there. He's move around a lot, and my little brother needs some stability. Yeah, so but he gets some too though. Check. Like he got some now.
Check. Show love today. Today will be a better day. But we don't, so I stay out the way. When the bullets spray, they have no name. We so heartless in this world today. Little boys with nowhere to play. We lost souls and we are bait. Fuck you if you feel a way. Yes, I'm preacher and I'm not the pastor. You cannot judge me, God's my handler.
Yeah, it's crazy. She just called me. She real quiet though. I don't feel like she learned how to express her emotions verbally. She rather just not say anything. And that's the problem with her. When she have an issue, she don't voice it. She just bottle up. And they get to the point where sometimes like you tell her to do something, she'll look at you. Or she ignore you. And I'd be like, what's wrong? And she just won't spit it out. She have a moment. She have a day. She have a days when she cool too, though. She have a days when she want to play. And yeah, but she have a days when she don't want to be bothered.
And what is her sign?
What is her sign? Her birthday is in July 24th. Yeah, she's a Cancer.
Yeah, she a Cancer, so that's them cancers. Maybe they'll switch on you real quick.
That's crazy because her and my brother, her and my youngest brother, they like Ace Boone Coon, but when they can't stand to be with each other, but can't stand to be without each other.
Oh yeah. that's the weirdest thing. Like my mother and her older sister, they live together and they've been living together for over 10 years. They can't stand to be around each other, but they can't stand not to be around each other. It's like night and day.
And what about your other two children?
My other two, my son, he's different. He is real energetic. Like he'd be 3 and 1/10. Like he the complete opposite of me though. Yeah. Like I was quiet, cool, chill. He outspoken. He say whatever come to his mind.
Like, does he like anything in particular?
He like music. And it's crazy that he's into music this young. He knows every word to all the songs. He even hummed the beats and everything. Like, I got a video of him. He got a little blow dryer thing. He got a headphone on with a blow dryer thing, faking like it's a mic.
I know they're cutting out a lot of the music programs, but you got to get him into that. Like,
yeah. And my oldest daughter, she's just the sweetest girl. She's 9. Both of my girls are unrolled, a 9-year-old, a 6-year-old. My brother's 8. Yeah. So my brother's their uncle, but he's younger than my oldest daughter.
Yeah, they're growing up together. Yeah. Yeah, you really got to get them out of that environment.
He ain't with his baby mama, though. That's the thing.
Yeah, that's
it.
The thing. That's what makes it a little complicated.
What it is.
Back row.
Yeah.
Oh, no. Can you show me how to be a better man?
Better man.
Can you show me how to make it again?
I had a deep conversation with my moms about things, and it made me see things for what it is. Like, they don't want to fight you because they dislike you. They want to fight you sometimes when they dislike themselves. Sometimes you got to let people's issues be their issues and do not transfer their energy over to you. So I was young when I realized that. And a lot of our kids don't know that. So everybody's energy like jumps on your child. And then your child carries that energy. And then they get more negative energy. And then that energy carries with that child. And then at a point, your child gets so much of this bullshit energy that's in the world that it controls their mind into their adulthood. And we, as parents, need to understand things are changing. You see, like, you know, it was a principal that quit at a school because, you know, he expelled 2 of the kids, and one of them, the board reversed the one kid from getting expelled, and he quit the principal. The next day, the whole school, like all the teachers, called off in support of him. And, you know, it's going to get worse for us in this society because we're getting worse. Like the numbness, feeling numb from death, feeling, you know, a nonchalant when a bullet passed you, you know, Manny, you know, he ain't here, but, you know, he had 16 bullets in his car and he numb to it. Things happen to us and we become numb to it.
It becomes sane instead of looking at it as insane. I'm really big on generational curses. And I think for us as Black people, I think it's been genetically passed down from generation to generation. I know in my family, there was colorism. So they looked down on them, and the grandmother was very harsh, very mean, and would call them names and just show favoritism. And if you think about slavery and how our ancestors, what they went through and that trauma and that fear and that anger, it was passed down generation to generation. And for me, a lot of times when I was younger, I didn't understand why I was so angry. I would just be angry for no apparent reason. No one did anything to me, but I was just angry. And I never understood why. If I was sad, I didn't understand why. So as I got older, I started to think about stuff and I started researching and trying to find out like my past, like my grandparents' past. And it's very educational because you learn different things. And once you start to expand your mind, for me, I was very big on family. I still am, but I had to learn that just because everybody was related to me by blood, they didn't mean me good. As a 40-something-year-old woman, my experience is I deal with people in increments. I'm real big on energy. And if I feel that you have a negative energy or something, your energy is off, I don't want to be around you because I know it's going to trigger something in me internally where it's going to attack.
It's going to visually rub off on you.
So I really try to stay away from the negative energy that with people and everything. You know, I haven't spoken to my family in 20 some years. You know, I talk to my mom. I see her when I can, but the rest of my family, I don't mess with them.
I definitely understand that part about it. Like my mom, I never knew my father, so my mom raised me. My dad, my brother's dad raised me to the point where in 2000, he got shot and paralyzed. So I look at it.
Yes.
Yeah. The year my brother that passed, the year he was born, his dad got paralyzed in a nightclub fighting. They shot inside the club. He got shot 6-7 times in his back. And he's paralyzed. He's been in a wheelchair for 20-something years. So, like, you know, at that point, he couldn't even take care of himself. So how could I expect him to try to take care of us, you know?
Yeah.
And I had an older uncle who lived with us. Him and my oldest uncle and my mom, all they, like, couldn't separate them. They lived together their whole lives. And he passed just last October, last year in October. And that was really, like, my father. He taught me everything that I knew. Taught me how to be a man, how to fix things, how to go about life. He was my father. He was the father figure in my life. And I lost him last November. And right after losing him, Christmas Day, we had a Christmas party. And my little cousin and her two kids were on their way home. And she got into a bad car accident. And one of her kids, and she passed away on Christmas
Day. That's a lot of trauma. I'm going to just tell you, it's a lot.
Yeah, that's I lost a whole bunch, a whole host of friends from neighborhoods and streets and stuff like that. But it just really started triggering and taking a toll on me with my family, just starting with my uncle. After him, it's like,
right snowballed.
After that. Yeah, it started snowballing after that. So I tried to, like, you know, just try to stay focused on my family because they kind of needed us at this moment, especially with everything else was going on. And like you said, this being able to try to keep pushing through.
But
all
it's
that,
like,
you know?
It gets to a point you're going to break. And
I've been there.
If you do, who's going to be there for your little brother and your kids?
And that's my mindset. That's what keeps me going.
Yeah. You got to take care of yourself.
Exactly. I don't have nobody to lean on. They don't have nobody to lean on if I fall. So
I like to say this to the public. You got me. But I don't invite everybody over to my house. Tommy was the first, you was the second. You're a good dude. Your energy is in the right place. You just not in the right place.
Yeah. You can't see the forest for the trees. You can't see the good in you. You're so wounded. You're just in survival mode. Someone once told me that I'm a survivor because of everything that I went through. And I don't want to be a survivor. I want to be healed. I want to be an inspiration, a mentor for someone else. You know, you get sick and tired of fighting every freaking day.
Every day.
Yeah, you are a survivor, but when are you going to not, when are you going to move out of that mindset of just surviving?
I thought like that too, but it's like every time you get close to that, something else happened and it dragged you right back into that dark place where you just work so hard to get out of.
Family, me and my mom is distant right now because of things over the years. My mom didn't want me to marry her, Delta. My mom wasn't really there for me like I would like her to be when my son passed. My mama is very, you know, have her opinion on everything, which is, I'm okay with anybody having an opinion. But when your opinion has no good behind it, I'm not into that.
Nah.
The reason why I say that is I love my family. I love my mom's side of the family. I love my dad's side of the family. I can go to a outing with my family. I just choose to keep my energy with my main family. Because sometimes when you try to feel the enjoyment and love of life, something goes sideways. You don't get what you wanted out of it. It's always a disappointment when you come in pure to it. And I don't think we, as us Black people, we don't take heed to how much bad vibes and energy kills and destroy your inner self. It destroys you. It's like having roaches. Once you see one roach, you might want to go ahead and get it. We let it multiply. Then when somebody come, you go over that person's house, you're like, oh yeah, that's just a roach. Like,
just. Yes. And knowing I could take this one home with me.
I think that we need to really open our minds. And I talked to a couple of guys at the job. I'm going to talk to the head of HR. I want to find a location. I want all of us to get together and really start talking about stuff like we're talking about today on this pod. Because sometimes when you hear somebody else's story, you start feeling so sorry about yourself. Yeah. And when you hear somebody else's story, you know what I'm saying? You're willing to be a better support when you see them. You know what I'm saying? Instead of walking just right past them, you're willing to say, what's up, man? You doing good today?
Checking in on them.
Yeah. We need that because we don't have that. Man do not have that. You know, I already talked to like 4 guys and they like, hell yeah, which shocked me. I was like, they's like, yeah, as soon as you do it, sign me up.
It's like really it's like creating a brotherhood, man. Yeah. That just checks on each other and makes sure and uplifts and makes sure that one another is okay.
I think that's a positive thing. And the reason I think self-consciously, the reason why I even thought of this was I was watching The Chi. And towards the end, I don't know if you watched The Chi.
Yeah, I watched The Chi.
When they were sitting down and talking and they was trying to gather with each other. Yeah. And I'm like, that's a good ass idea.
Yeah, that is.
But when I brung it up, I was thinking about Manny. Me and Manny just had a conversation like 3-4 days ago. And just like, damn, like every time I talked to, first it was Christian I took a ride with, talked to him. Then I talked to you right after. I'm like, damn, a lot of people going through shit. You know?
Me and Jason got a good way of hiding it, you know? We just move on, you know? That whole time, it's still there. It don't really go nowhere.
And I think it's also the way that we as a society treat our men, our boys. We're told at a very young age, y'all supposed to be strong. Y'all can't show any emotion.
Make you feel weak when you show your emotions, but you don't supposed to feel that way.
Yeah. Sure. It's okay to cry. You know, my grandfather, he was hardcore. But he always told us, the girls and the boys, you never cry. You never show that you're weak. And it's crazy because when we first started dating, I was having some issues with my younger brother. He's deceased now. I couldn't reach him because he was angry and he was dealing with a lot of issues himself. My mother was on drugs with him, so he was physically, he was normal, but he wasn't fully developed. So a lot of times he would lash out at me and I would lash out at him in a sense. And I would not cry in front of Eugene. So I would go in the bathroom and close the door and lock it. And I would get towels and I would just cry into the towels because psychologically I was still thinking like, this is what I was taught. You're not supposed to cry no matter what. You can't cry because that means you weep. I know he asked me like, what the hell are you doing in the bathroom? I hear like muffling, like it's a muffled sound. He's like, are you going to bathroom to cry? He was like, you do know I'm here, right? I'm a listening ear. And for me, it was like, no, I'm not crying in the bathroom. I ain't finna tell him shit. Because I was so guarded. So I think that is a beautiful thing that men can get somewhere and try to be a support. Because y'all need that. Y'all really do. Because y'all hold a lot of stuff inside. Y'all don't talk about it. And then, you know, when something happens and y'all explode, you know, people be like, I didn't know he was in that mindset. You know, I didn't know he was feeling that way.
Yeah. Like Julian. He lost 3 brothers and a cousin to the streets. That's how me and Julian got close. One of his brothers he lost was my best friend.
It's just so much, so much death. And
all in the same radius. They all died in the same block. Hood. Same neighborhood.
It's just not right. It's not normal. And, you know.
We could go on and on about the redlining and social and economic limitations that our communities have. But I want to change it up a little bit. I want to ask you, being that you are 30 years old and you're trying to get out of the situation or out of the mindset that you're in, where do you see yourself in 5 years? Like, what is your goals? What are your dreams?
That's a good question.
That was a great question.
Yeah. When I first got hired at Lake Shore, I didn't go in there with the mindset of getting my CDL. I was just getting a job, trying to get myself busy and make some money. You know?
Legally.
Legally, yeah.
Because I know your ass is doing illegal shit on the street.
Okay, if
I just being real. I know when you're living in that.
He seems like such a really. I'm giving you the benefit of doubt. Giving you the benefit of doubt.
But I just, like I said, I mean, I never looked at it. I kind of look at stuff like that different. I just adapted to what was around me. And I looked at it. Everybody look at it as bad. I looked at it as an extra resource for me to take care of my, provide for my family. That's really what I looked at it as. So.
So you have your CDL, correct?
Got it. It took me forever to get it.
But you got it. That's all that matters.
Proud of myself because
you should be. That's a big fucking accomplishment.
Even with going through everything that I was going through, and it started hitting me at the time when I was really trying to really focus on getting the CDS. Like everything go distract you.
Yes.
But I stayed focused and I got it. Now I'm getting comfortable driving. So like you said, my goals 5 years is to. It's definitely going to be something with my CDL. I just ain't put my finger exactly on what it want to be. Right now, I'm just going along and getting the feel of everything and making sure this is really what I want to do.
Give him a little, does he know the background with you? Because when you first started at your job, I ain't going to say the name, you didn't have your CDL. So, and I don't even think you.
You knew that, right? I didn't have my CDL. Oh, okay. Yeah, you give him back still. I started off as a casual.
You started off as a casual.
Yeah, I didn't have my CDL. Yeah. Yeah, when I first started here, I didn't know you when I first started at Budweiser.
No, you was a casual.
I was a casual. I was working two jobs. I was working Budweiser, and then I was working where we was working. Mm-hmm. And that's when I met her. Like, I think... When did we meet?
I believe it was around late September, early October.
It was October. What year though? Because Elijah was born 2003. Yeah. So I was working at Budweiser for like probably 2 years. And then I would quit there, Budweiser, in the winter. And I would work. Where we was working, or Rush, or somewhere else. And, you know, I told you about my difficulties and everything like that. But, so, when I started going there, we met, everything happened with us. I think 6 months in with her, I got her pregnant. And... told me to tell the story. My boss so happily came to me and was like, hey, if you get your CDL in a month, I'll put you in the union. I was like, a month? He's like, yeah, I'll get you the truck and everything. You just got to go get your permit and all that. So I was trying to study by myself. I was terrible at studying. So she started helping. So she helped me. We studied every damn day for like a week and a half. I went to go get my permit and I passed all my tests. Then I started practicing driving on my own for like two weeks and everything. And I got my license on the first try. Aaron Voldness took me. Yeah, Voldness took me to get my license. He said I should have failed, but I knew how to talk to women.
That helps you.
Yeah, yeah. So, my draft route, and at the time, my uncle was working there, too. My uncle got popped for drugs. I ended up taking over his route. I did his route for, like, 9 months. She said I was the terriblest person ever.
Oh, my God.
I was frustrated, because back then, I was in Harvey. I was in the hood. She used to drive out to the route, and I used to give her, like,
at this point.
She's pregnant, and I used to give her, like, 30, 40 grand. Cause that's we was collecting cash back then. So I was right. I would give her 30, 40 credit. Yeah. And sometimes she'd drive off, go to her auntie house or whatever. But she would have pulling back at the end of the day, she would have 40,000. Now I have another 30 on me.
And those convenience stores or liquor stores, they was terrible. They would either pay you in cash. No. They would pay you in dollars.
Once.
Dollars. And then one guy was so bogus, he paid in change.
Buddha. OB, you made a hit, nigga.
Women are a lot easier to support than men. Y'all,
yes.
Yeah, y'all lay it out there.
You think so?
Yeah. Y'all lay it out there for everybody. All it takes is a bottle of wine and sit down and it's over with. You gonna tell it all. Men be guarded. Men be guarded. Like me, I'm the type of person, I want to know what's your intentions first. I'm a reader. I'll read you first.
That's a good habit. And then,
and that's another reason I'm be quiet too. I be sitting reading the room a lot.
Do you, with that stuff going on, I asked you this question before. I just want you to answer it on the mic. I'm putting you on blast. Would you get back with your baby mama?
I mean, I always leave the door open for that. I never, you know, but I'm not, I don't rush it or push it. No, I think we just still stuck in the middle right now.
Are all your kids by the same
age? Mm-hmm.
That's good.
I try to keep it that way.
That's a big thumbs up.
And our relationship is real cool. Like, we real cool. We real supportive of each other. Whenever one another need each other, we always there for each other. So.
Yeah. I kind of remember you telling me, that you was, you really wanted one of your employees to get his CDL because you think, I'm trying to remember. I know he said that you was in a messed up situation.
And I was willing to do what for it?
Put your job on the line. And I told him, you're fucking crazy. Okay. But I understood why he was doing it, because our men, they're not given that opportunity. He saw something in you worth sacrificing and risking his financial independence for his family to help another brother out. And I think he look at you like a little brother in a sense. So yeah, I'm really glad that I got to meet you, because I see what he sees in you. You're a good dude. You seem like a really down to earth guy, you know. Don't prove me wrong. I don't have to come at you.
But that's the thing about it, and the harsh reality to it that she don't understand is that I already know what you're doing. You don't have to tell me. I already know. She thinks everything she's seeing is the shine.
That's how it's supposed to be.
Yes.
I'm supposed to paint that picture.
Yes.
His dog
side.
He didn't quite leave the
street. Yeah, but my thing is, when I deal with people, I come in with a purpose. My purpose for you and me is for you to be able to let go and move forward in the next chapter that God has created. I knew you needed your CDL. I knew you needed to get in the union. I didn't even know your history. I just read off your energy, because I know what you're doing, still doing. You're still surviving. You know what I'm saying? And by surviving, it's any means necessary. And I want to get your mind out of that and your mind into 1, 2, and 3. And 4.
5 and 6.
Yes.
Yeah, so far.
Yeah. So that's my process, you know. I got another guy that I've been mentoring him since he's 13. He ain't did shit I told him to do. But he ain't do shit I told him to do. But I still love him.
Yeah. He a knucklehead, but
he a knucklehead, but I still love him. I just hope, and I told him, and I pray that he don't have to learn this the hard way. And you already experienced what's the hard way.
That's why I always don't shy away from telling my story, because I know it might help somebody going forward. Especially when I was a kid and the stuff that occurred back when I was younger.
And you here for a reason. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? With everything that has happened in your life, you're still here for a reason. God has a purpose for you. I'm not a big religious person, but God has favor on your life. And it's up to you to decide how to move forward with it. You are here for a reason. What that reason is, we don't know. Maybe you're here to mentor someone. Maybe you're here to be a testimony, your story, to change somebody that might be going down that path. You know, you never know. Shit, he didn't know that he was going to be a mentor, that he's mentoring young men.
And he's in position to actually really help people. And that's exactly what he's doing. Now, I appreciate you, Daffy Jane, because you don't have to do none of the stuff you do. You don't have to do none of it. But you pitch your neck out there to make sure that you help your people.
So this is going to wrap it up for another episode of Love Everyone Equally. Are you on social media or anything?
Yeah, I have a social media.
You want to throw it out there?
My Facebook is Shaun Baker, S-H-A-U-N-B-A-K-E-R. I got an Instagram. It's SRT Shots Fired 79.
Shots Fired. And we want to... We're going to say that one for later. So we want to thank everybody for checking us out. Follow us on Instagram. And we're now on TikTok. The info will be in the link below. Don't forget to like, follow, share. And we'll catch you on the next one. Peace.
Peace.
Still have love in my heart. Even for the lost, even for the blind. I hope this message give you life. Even for the lost, even for the blind. I hope this message give you life. I believe that this life has a meaning. I just don't know if it is.
Back row.
I know everything I have.